Right, a caller says phones should be banned in classrooms and this should extend to the teachers too. My 10-year-old says his teacher gives them work to do and then sits on her phone for 10 minutes at a time. Yeah, well, it has to be across the board, doesn't it? Is RTE just the tip of the iceberg of the government? Over 100 years of nepotism in government and its various national and local agencies. Sadly, Ireland needs a root and branch audit. A review of RTE, HSE, Justice, Social Services. The list is never-ending of the potential incompetence and corruption that awaits us in this rotten can of worms. Our school got over 50 new students and they didn't get a single extra penny to support these students because they had moved from another county. The allocation of support for them had already been given and we will receive no support until 2024. There is a huge language barrier and support is greatly needed. We really cannot just be given 50 plus students with no supports. And we had this conversation previously a long time ago about how you integrate new students into the school, how you help them by bringing their English on if that is an issue, but also how you incorporate them without it damaging or impacting on other students' education. So I'm not sure if we've resolved that yet. You hand your phone in to the teacher in the Philippine schools. You get it back in the evening when school's over. Simple and probably just the norm and no one thinks about it. It's just what's done. Hi, Greg. Would have to agree with your last caller. The price of hotels in Donegal. Was looking to take my wife away for two nights for our anniversary. The last bank holiday passed. I rang three popular hotels in Donegal. One was looking for €628 for two nights. Another €850 and the third €1,300 for two nights. Ended up going to Spain for the week for €800 all inclusive. And that's my what my friends are all doing now. You couldn't holiday in Ireland with the price of hotels, they believe. Do you have a flip side to that story, though, by the way? Have you had a recent staycation? People don't like that word. It can be quite triggering. But, you know, have you so far, what were some of you will have already maybe taken a break away. Did you do it? Was it relatively cheap? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Just your recommendations to counter you know, the claim that it's very expensive to holiday here. I think what people do is, I mean, I wouldn't like to stay in a hotel for very long, to be honest with you, especially with young children. It's just not really, I don't think it's a very comfortable environment. I think, you know, you could possibly go and stay in a house somewhere for a week for, it can be quite expensive, but maybe €800 to €900 if it's two families. Does it become affordable or more affordable then? As I say, you'd have to be a lovely hotel to want to spend any more than a couple of nights there, wouldn't it? Or would it? Maybe you go away and stay in hotels. It's each to their own, I suppose. Stand up people against the forced license for RTE, which hardly anyone watches. People Power got rid of water charges. Greg, I'm coming to the conclusion that legally right and morally right are so far apart. It means that if it's legally okay, it can override something that's morally wrong. Yeah, I think that's kind of almost par for the course, is it? Greg, absolutely galling to watch Niamh Smith and Moya Doherty of the oversized oversight board. It was like two girls that were old friends. Tubbs and NK shall be so well prepared and get an easy ride. They may have done nothing wrong, only arrogance. Should have paid the money straight back. Now, never, ever be a presenter anywhere. That comes in from Oisin. Ryan Tubbs might end up working successfully here, or maybe there's options for him abroad. I think no matter how well prepared they are tomorrow, there's a lot of questions. And it was quite an interesting line of questioning. I heard someone from RTE questioning someone who will be questioning Ryan Tubbs. And it was, they were almost giving him the questions or giving them the questions as to what they expect to be asked. And there's no easy answers to some of these questions. It's going to be a tough show for them tomorrow. Will you be watching it? I think even those that are, I think the news channel is going to have record viewership figures tomorrow anyway. Drip pay the TV license one per year because they drip feed us information. Okay. I wonder, will there be an investigation into the squandering of public money during the COVID pandemic? Crazy amount gone. Where? Who benefited? Well, that's another argument. Some would say lives were saved. Others would say lives were cost. And it might take some time separation between then and when there's some level of consensus there. Okay, it's another week of bingo. If you're playing, good luck. Have your numbers out. You have your pen out. Well, here are the numbers for you. Good luck if you are playing today. Okay, our next conversation is not unrelated to a conversation we had in our first hour, where we heard from a Fine Gael senator for a ban on mobile phones in national schools. It's been trialled elsewhere, or it's been done voluntarily elsewhere, and it's been mandated in other countries. And it is one byproduct of that would be, hopefully, to reduce bullying, but not eliminate it, because, of course, bullying comes in all different forms. Bethany O'Riordan's a psychotherapist and founder of the Calm Parenting Club and joins us now. Thank you so much for your time today.
That's all right. Thanks for having me. Hello.
Yeah, good to have you. I mean, this is not, we're going to talk about why we invited you on, but just a commentary from you. I mean, would you welcome the removal of mobile phones from national schools? I mean, you'd imagine it would have to have a positive impact on children's well-being.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the minute screens are removed, kids go back to playing and being creative and having to communicate with each other in sort of, I was going to say old-fashioned ways, but it's not really. Yeah. They just have to get back to getting on and talking with each other, which is something very helpful.
Yeah, it's an unnatural way that's sort of pushing the natural way of us. We're social creatures, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I had kids at my house, so I'm a mum of three, and I had kids at my house for a sleepover, so there was three kids over, and Saturday morning everyone got up, they did their games, they did their technology for a bit, and then I took all the technology away, and they all looked at me like, what on earth are you doing? My kids were mortified, and then they just went and played, they got out the board games, they played Twister, they laughed, they ran around, and it was amazing, you know, it was rather than sitting in silence or...
And that all instantly came, instantly naturally came to them. I mean, I'm not saying they'd never done it before, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So in terms of, I've said this before in this program, obviously we've covered bullying in the past, and I've talked about bullying in schools before, and then you get phone calls from people well advanced in their lives, 40s, 50s and 60s, and still what happened to them as they were children has stayed with them, but also affected their relationships and how they interact with other people. I mean, talk to me a little bit about that, about the impact bullying can have on people and its lasting impacts potentially.
Oh, I think it's huge. But like in the therapy world, what we would say is it's not only the thing that happened to the child that really dictates so much of their future, but it's if they're alone with it. So much of the time, parents can, and I get it, I'm a parent, can kind of go into a flap and a frenzy and feel really panicked themselves, because obviously there is nothing more hurtful to a parent than the thought of their child being hurt. But the thing that really helps children the most is when children don't feel alone in their pain. So they say that trauma is when a child feels alone with what's going on for them. So even though there can be policies and strategies from schools, it's for the parents to really connect with the children and help them through it. And what children, so I work a lot with teenagers, and they say the worst thing is when they see the panic on their parents' face. Now, as I said, I'm a parent. It's not that we're not meant to feel panic, you know, we are, but we're meant to know how to contain it so it doesn't spill into the lives of our children. So children have more of an ability to overcome a bullying scenario with the right support and help from the adults around them.
Yeah, and there's all, as I say, there's all different types of it. I was speaking recently to a parent who's a young person. You know, there was no physical abuse, there was no nicknames or nothing, but they were actively being excluded from things. You know, so in and of itself, that is a form of bullying. Bullying's kind of a catch-all, but things like that can be really difficult. And then you can really struggle as a parent. You can't go around to people and say, play with my child, do you know what I mean? Then you start questioning about your own child's socialising or whatever. You know, so there's different forms, and it generally causes a great deal of stress, and people wonder, well, how can I sort this out? I don't want to see, you know, this extension of me in such a horrible, vulnerable place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, as you were talking, and it made me think, there was a party in one of my kids' classes recently, and one of my children, I won't, obviously won't be naming names, was one of three children who wasn't invited.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I get it. You can't invite 15 or 12 people to a party all the time. Realistically, if we're a bunch of adults, right, say there's 28 children in the classroom. I know there's more and I know there's less. But would I get on with 28 people and want to invite all of them to my birthday party? I don't know. So what is the line around inviting people, not inviting people? Is it excluding, or are we teaching children, you know, you don't have to get on with everybody. You have to be nice to everybody. But, you know, you're allowed to have relationships with a few people without excluding others. And I think this stuff, I think it's all about the parents having a really open dialogue. You know, I think especially parties are really tricky. And like you say, you know, there are excluding people, I think is really awful. And I also think, though, it's about supporting the child who is being excluded to create their own friends then. Well, if that group don't want to play with you, let's figure out why. Is there a reason or is there not a reason? And let's focus on your other friends then.
Well, I mean, that's really constructive and a pathway out. And I want to tease that out with you. But it's about having the open lines of communication with your child. And how do you have those conversations? Because a child will, same as an adult, will bottle things up. Their behaviour might change. They just seem different. And they could be carrying this scenario with them, but don't feel they can talk about it. So I suppose this is from any age, really, where that you can communicate with the child. How do you best have those lines of communication open so that they feel they can come home and say such and such is happening? Because it's far better, presumably, to try and deal with these things or to help your child at the earliest possible juncture.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's really important for kids to know that everyone might not like them. And that's really hard. You know, even as an adult, do I like that people don't like me? Well, it certainly is difficult to swallow all the time, isn't it? So I think the thing that's really important is if, say, when a child comes home, if the parents can be available, right? So that means you're off your phone. I mean, lots of us work from home, so it's not that you have to quit your job and be available 24/7, but it's that you're available at the times that the child needs you to be available at. So that you can see, okay, when they've come in the door, play detective. Is their behavior different? Is there something about them that I can't quite put my finger on? And then what parents have to do, and I think this is a bit where loads of parents get really scared, and I always say, yeah, it's normal to be scared, but you can also be proactive, is try and kind of make a really good guess at what you think is going on. You don't have to get it right, and you're not putting thoughts in your child's head. But what children do is children pick up on what's being unspoken anyway, and it comes out through their behaviours. So if you can say something like, hey, you know, were you left out in the playground today? You know, how is it that you didn't get invited to the party? Or, you know, we haven't had anyone over for a while. You've not been invited anywhere for a while. Shall we do something? If you can try and name the thing that's really hard, then that helps to take the sting off it. And it's almost like kind of releasing the pull on a ring cam. You know, it kind of like, it kind of releases the pressure around.
Or even
it.
Maybe a sheet of paper with, if they're able to read a sheet of paper with some of the things you suspect it might be, and see if there's anything relevant that they can point to on it or something might be a way of. How important is our reaction? Because, you know, we always presume that everything's great with us, right? And we're perfectly equipped to deal with everything that's happened with our children. But mums and dads and guardians and caregivers are stressed themselves. Maybe they're anxious. Maybe they'll go into panic mode. Oh, is there something wrong with my child at school? And next thing, they're actually more, it's their reaction and not the helping of the child thing, you know? Or they might take every word that comes out of the child's mouth is an absolute fact and going to school in a rage or something. You know what I mean? So how important is it that the big people process it properly, take a few deep breaths and, you know, sort of say, right, calmly as much as it can be possible, what's the best approach? How do I deal with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. So children learn about life, about managing their emotions from the parents. You know, we say that the family is the training ground for life. So, I mean, you know, the overall arching thing about bullying is how do you cope with a problem in life, I guess. And that's really simplifying it and kind of funneling it down to one sentence. And we want children to know that, yeah, things are really hard, but you can get through it. And the role of a parent is to kind of almost in some way be quite impartial to what's going on and observe with the child, oh, so that's going on for you. And of course, we do that with loads of love and we do it with loads of care, but we don't want to drop into the feeling of it with the child, because emotional regulation is all about the child plugging into the parent and parents preparing themselves to support the child. So the child needs our strength, it needs our authority, it needs our listening ears, and it needs us to know that whatever, the child needs us to know that whatever happens in life, we're going to support them through it. And that doesn't happen if we turn into a puddle on the floor in front of them.
Okay, that's one way of putting it, all right. Now, our conversation earlier about banning phones from national schools, the reason that's even a topic now is because many of us, and I'm a parent, that is very typical, right? Nothing's perfect, okay? But too many of us say no, or don't say no, sorry, or find it difficult to say no, or say no, you're not taking that to school with you today. You're leaving it in the bedroom and you can have an hour when you get home. Like, we've had issues here, I've been contacted personally by even parents of young teenagers that want teen discos banned, because it's easier if they were banned than it would be for them to say, no, you're not going, because, you know, the teen says, well, my friends are going and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, going back to the younger children, mm-hmm. We have a tough line to walk, do we? Or have we figured it out in terms of our children having resilience and learning and knowing the realities of life and what is mistreatment or bullying, or what is, look at, this is going to come at you hard when you're in secondary school or when you're an adult. You know, they have to learn the realities of life through. We are not going to get every child through growing up perfectly protected from everything, completely insulated, and nor should we necessarily want to. Are we struggling to find that balance between giving our children, having resilience ourselves and for our children, but also protecting them from obvious wrongs? Convoluted question, but hopefully you can make something from it.
Yeah, I mean, I think life is really hard. I was saying it to my mum. I said, Mum, do you know, it's actually really hard to keep kids. Everything is so available now. You know, when I was younger, if I missed an episode of Grange Hill, it wasn't on catch up. I didn't get to record. I had to ask my friend what happened in school the next day. But now everything is so available to children. You know, everything is so instant. You know, I remember sitting beside my, I don't know what you call it now, my like ghetto blaster, waiting to push the play and pause button to record a Green Day song when it came on or something. Now you just go to Spotify and
then
you go
the
to
DJ
YouTube.
Started talking out over the start of it and the end of it too, because they figured out what you were at.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel that for parents now, to keep our kids' feet on the ground is so important. And I'm a mom. I know it is easier sometimes to give my child a screen because they will be quiet for the hour, the half hour, however long it is. But in parenting, always the right thing to do is often the hardest thing to do. And you mentioned resilience. So resilience is the act of overcoming something. So children need to hear the word no. I mean, no is the word that you will hear the most. And like, no, you didn't get the job. You didn't get the exam.
You didn't win the lottery. Yeah.
yeah, the saddest one of all. You didn't win the lottery. Yeah. You know, so, and in fact, when your child is there and they're really upset and parents say in the camp parenting club, they cried for over an hour. I say, well, that's how upset they were. But this is really good because they're doing it within the safety of the relationship with you. And that is the thing that makes that feeling safe.
Yeah, okay. And parents need to give themselves a break too. There's no handbook, there's no rule book, we're not prepared for it, there's no licenses, there's no learner permits, there's no testing. Yeah. You know, you just do your best as you can, and you make mistakes along the way and you don't beat yourself up for it, but you try and learn from it.
Okay. I think so.
Talk the Calm Parenting Club, can people get more information on that or?
Yeah, go to my website and have a look. So it's my online parenting community where there's myself and a play therapist, and we're there to guide you through life as it unfolds. It takes place in my app, so you can ask me questions whenever you need to, and I'm there to help you, support you through the ups and downs. And it's for parents of kids and teenagers of all abilities. And it's waitlist free. I really want parents to know that you don't have to wait to get support. So.
All right, thanks for your time today and your insights. Take care of yourself. That is Bethany O'Riordan, psychotherapist and founder of the Calm Parenting Club, 086 60 25000. WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call too if you wish on 07491 25000. Okay, so a theme of today's programme, more by accident than design, is about parenting. A mother has offered her son €2,000 to stay off booze until he's 18, because she's worried about teenage drinking. Journalist Mary McCarthy started drinking before she became an adult, and her experience has influenced how she parents her son. Mary joins us now. Hi, Mary. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Is that framed correctly? I'm not sure if you wrote this yourself or someone wrote it on your behalf. Is that framed correctly for you?
That is exactly, yeah, that is exactly on the button. So I look back, my son now is for nearly 15, and that's the age I started drinking. So I've been thinking about it a lot, and I'm horrified, Greg, at how, you know, and also how lucky we were that we didn't, well, I didn't get into any major scrapes. I did end up in hospital getting my stomach pumped after stealing some whiskey from my parents and drinking a lot of it. And I'm just hyper aware that today it's even a bit more riskier, you know, a teenager's drinking with phones, and then there's drugs. I mean, there were no drugs around when I was, you know, this is going back now, I'm 46. Anyway, long story short, I decided to offer him €2,000 if he didn't touch alcohol until he was 18. And he agreed. He was delighted.
Now, some would say, brilliant, if it works for you, that's fantastic. Others would say, oh, it's a bit of a cop-out, isn't it, Mary, you know, to be trying to bribe him. But is it, if we dig into it a bit more, it's not simply about the money, though. I suppose it actually maybe empowers him a little bit. You know, I think people might read this and go, well, this is about Mary and her peace of mind. But to some extent, I suppose it empowers the young person and gives them an alternative and a incentive. Is that the motivation behind it?
Exactly, Greg. You know, that is what it is. I remember when I was growing up, you would hear these urban myths of people, none of my direct friends, but you'd hear of people who parents had offered them a car or money, and they kind of used it as a crutch. It was an excuse, you know. So I want him to know, A, that we expect him not to drink, like that's what we expect. B, I would love if he was able to be honest, and I don't mind if he goes, if his friends are going to bars, if he goes to bars but he doesn't drink and he just tells me, you know. But also, I just think, yeah, as you say, it is an extra incentive for him, A, to get the money, but B, he's got kind of an alibi. He's able to say, well, look, I don't want to drink, fellas, because, you know, every incident that he might drink is a potential loss of €2,000. It's never going to be worth it, right? Like, there's never going to be a night or a party that it's worth it.
Yeah, and it's not a collective period of time from 15 to 18. It's a series of individual events, isn't it, really,
exactly.
Potentially?
Yeah. That's it. And all the research, Greg, like there's so much research on this that shows that parents who are more open to giving their adolescents alcohol or letting them drink a certain amount, like they're four times more likely to fall into kind of harmful patterns later on with their drinking. So people think, like, and I don't want to insult anyone who's decided to do this, and I do have friends and family who have done this, but they think that if they let their 16-year-old have a beer with them, and they kind of think, oh, this is the mature thing to do. We're teaching them how to drink. But I would say, why would you teach your child to use a drug? Like, you wouldn't give them a cigarette after dinner, you know? So why would you, like, introduce them to the world of drinking before they're 18? And if this monetary incentive, if it, you know, it is a lot of money, and, you know, like, there is a bribery element there, but I feel that it's important that they don't drink, and I'll do anything to you.
Yeah, and like, how, where's the trust here? Is this in some sort of a middle account that he has access to when he's 18? Like, are you good for it, Mary? Now the line's broken down a little bit. Can you hear me now, Mary? Can you?
Yeah, I mean, there is an element of trust there.
It's not an escrow account or something.
I can hear you, yeah. Can you hear me? I might have to move room. I might have to wander into another room. Can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah, go ahead. I know there's a slight delay. So okay. I was asking you, that's about a trust situation here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there will be a trust. And I just want to keep, well, I think he knows. I mean, you know, you can tell when someone's been drinking, right? And he knows that we'll be able, like, it's also being involved in their lives and knowing where they are, you know, like not saying, okay, you can go off and do a sleepover for two nights with so-and-so and I'm not going to be in touch with your friend's parents. I'm going to be in touch and I'm going to be not in a controlling way, but just to be, I think parents, they actually have, you know, quite a big role. And sometimes parents can think, oh, well, they've got to 16, 17, like they don't need me breathing down their neck, but you kind of do, you know? So there is a level of trust, but he knows that he'll be caught, like if he does drink. And to be honest, Greg, he's mad into his like kind of body, but like he just wants to bulk up and he's like, well, drinking is bad for my body. I don't want to do it. It's like the 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, they're very different breeds. I think you might be a bit younger than me, but they're a different breed to what we were. I had no idea I was smoking, age 15, drinking. Like they know now, their body is our temple. Like they want protein smoothies, not like bottles of Budweiser, you know. So I think that there will be trust there. And I think that I'm confident anyway, I hope, you know.
I mean, you got this idea from friends. What has been the reaction to you going public on this? Everyone's got an opinion nowadays, and some people are going to think it's a cop-out or that, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, I'm more of an each-to-their-own type person, to be honest with you. But what has been the feedback you've received so far?
Some of it's been really good, and actually a lot of the parents have gone to us to say that they have done something similar. They've offered them a holiday or a car, and it has worked. And then there's people who have been quite hostile to it, and I kind of feel maybe they're a bit defensive because they haven't decided to do this. So they feel, and there is always that risk with opinion writing, you are always potentially, you're insulting a lot of people if you come out with an opinion, because I'm saying I don't think it's right, you know. And by inference, they feel, well, you're saying I'm not a good parent. So I have got quite a few hostile reactions as well, with people saying, I don't think you're right. And I think, you know, my son can have a beer with me and he's not going to go mental. But, you know, as you say, everyone to their own. But I mean, the research says it, and you can't really argue with the research and the health professionals. It'd be very difficult to get a health professional to tell you that it's a good idea to supervise your teenage drinking. Like I've tried to do it. I tried to get the counter argument and I could not get it. Like nobody would come out and say it. In fact, it astounded me how many health professionals didn't actually drink themselves, you know. So I kind of feel there's a kind of societal thing there that, you know, it's, you know, the parents are really, they're very much against vaping and cannabis and cigarettes, but alcohol is something that is accepted, right?
Yeah, but it's a little bit, it is a little bit like banning the mobile phones, you see. It's a little bit like it. It's because we do it ourselves, you see. So we're talking about stopping other people doing, and then does that mean then eventually they're going to come for us? And I think there's a subconscious sort of thing going on there. But finally, Mary, you know, so he'll have 15, 16, 17, 18 to see maybe friends of his that did have a few drinks you know, felt bad the next day or did something a bit silly. Do you think in a way that he might sort of turn 18 and not go to the bar and have, you know, three or four pints and say that, you know what, actually, I've done all right up until now, not drinking. Maybe I'll just choose not to drink as an adult.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? I mean, or he could go the other way and just not know how to handle his booze. And I hope that doesn't happen. Like, Greg, what I try and do is I try and role model. So I remember interviewing a liver specialist a couple of years ago for an article, and he said the one advice he gives is to people is to make every drink count. So if you meet a friend and you have a gin and tonic, like that first one is really means something, you know. You sit down, you haven't seen each other for ages, you have a good chat, but the four or five after that mean nothing really. You don't need them. So what I try and do is I try and, well, A, not to kind of look like I'm gasping for a drink, but just to make every drink count. Like I'll enjoy a drink, but I maybe won't order another one. I'll order like a mint tea or something. So I would, like, my dream would be, and like, unfortunately now I do actually have four kids, and the youngest one now wants $6,000, would you believe it or not? He's a very wily little 6-year-old. So he was saying, I'm going to do it for six, mama. So I would love if my kids could drink mindfully. And I know that's mindfully is a buzzword, but it does mean something when it comes to alcohol. It's to enjoy it in very, very small doses, because, you know, I think we've just become habituated to drinking large amounts and we think that's normal, and actually it's harmful, you know.
All right. Okay. It's been interesting speaking to you. Thanks for your time today. Have a lovely day.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks
bye-bye.
For having me on.
Take care of yourself. Mary McCarthy, who is a journalist. She's paying her child or has agreed with her 14, 15-year-old that if he stays off alcohol till he's 18, he's going to be €2,000 richer. As I say, it's not for everyone, and an awful lot of people wouldn't have access to the $2,000 to be able to make that barter. But what do you think? As I say, I'm more genuinely each to their own. If it works for them, if they've got the money and it's beneficial, that's grand. Would I do it? Don't know. I have to think about it. Maybe I'll think about it during this ad break. But I can understand why someone might, but then I can understand why others might say, well, it's just throwing your hands up and saying, I can't influence them without sort of the financial incentive. I don't know. What do you think? 086 6025000 is the WhatsApp or text number. If you're outside the Republic, 00353 86 6025000. I'm going to say good morning now to Kevin. Kevin, how are you getting on?
Not so bad, Greg.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin. Now, you have noticed something at, is it the Go self-service fuel stations? These are the ones where you insert your card, you prepay, then you fill up. You don't necessarily know exactly how much you're going to fill up, and then you drive off. Now, if you put in €80 and you fill 65, the idea being that you're charged €65, not the 80. What's your experience been, Kevin?
Well, twice there over the weekend, Greg, I had to go to this one of the self-service stations there. And I put in €20 each time, but I just see my account this morning is down to the tune of €250.
Wowzers, how could it
for
be
the
so
two
much?
Transactions. Well, I spoke to both the bank and I've spoke to the crowd that runs the service station. And the bank's saying it's a pre-authorization, but they haven't got, you know, they don't pre-authorize it. They just take the 40 out.
Mm.
The company's saying that it's Visa and MasterCard that put the pre-authorization and it will drop off, but it could take 3 or 4 working days for it to drop off, Greg.
Yeah. Now, you'll get the money
lucky,
back.
Luckily, but if you had somebody there that say, like, yes, had they put €10 of petrol or diesel into their car, next thing they have a direct debit coming out this morning for rent or something, or phone bill or something like that, and they find out they're down €125 for a €10 purchase. That sounds a wee bit strange.
So, Kevin, when you pulled in to get fuel, do you know how you put the card in and then it tells you how
yes.
much you're going to pump?
Yeah.
What button did you press? Did you press the 20?
No, you don't get that option on the station I was on. You just put the card in, you put your PIN in and it approves, and then they tell you to start fueling the car.
Oh, okay.
You fuel the car, whatever, and then you press for a receipt.
I don't understand.
The filler system that you're talking about, where you put in your card and up it comes, do you want petrol or diesel? Petrol, much do you want? €20. And you press go, and then it tells you if your car's declined or not.
Right, so with this company, they automatically check for €125, then obviously.
They automatically withdraw that out of your account. Now, where it's sitting, this is the one, I don't know where that actual €105 is sitting. It's not with the bank, and it's not with the company, so they're saying it's with Visa or MasterCard.
It's a pending payment. It's a pending payment.
It's a pending payment until, yes. So there are two of them at the weekend there. It's not to say it used to be a penny, but there are two at the weekend there, and neither of the two of them have dropped off. So this morning, I'm sitting with €210 out of my account, out. So it's gone.
Yeah, which would be enough to bounce a direct debit, potentially, depending on, not in your situation.
Correct.
But and even though
correct.
That money is returned, then it could be Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yes.
You've already encountered the problems. I wonder, is it a particular thing for the weekends?
Greg, when it's for, really.
Okay.
It doesn't matter because I'm sitting at 10 or 11 o'clock this morning. It still hasn't been returned.
Right, okay.
So it's just something that people need to be aware of, that they need to be aware of. It's a funny one. I wouldn't mind even one, but there's something way more, and something that people would just need to be very aware of when they're using certain self-service stations.
Yes.
Now, the ones that bring you up the transaction and petrol or diesel, and you put your amount on that, they're all 100% because you're immediately, your card either declines or or is accepted. So your reports is the same as tapping it or using your card in the machine.
Yeah.
But this way here, I personally will not be using the particular station ever again until that system changes. And I've been a fairly good customer of theirs.
Yeah, I think it's useful. I think it's useful feedback. I don't think it's a problem for the company. I think it's useful feedback. They can say, all right, this is an issue. Because before they would just check it's a real card. And as you say, you know, a nominal fee just to make sure, right, this is an active card. But now they're seemingly, at least at one of the stations, they're pre-authorizing €125, which is a pending payment. It's not taken from you, but it's a pending payment, which has that effect on your bottom line.
Okay. Well, it is actually taken from you. It's taken from your money and your bank.
And then returned.
Greg. So it is actually taken from you and then returned. Yeah, it is taken away. So it is. So for €10 of petrol, maybe some person looking, you know, just to put a lock of petrol over the weekend, they could potentially be down €125.
All right. Listen, Kevin, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Take care of yourself. Now, we spoke to the company and the bank. Was it we that spoke to them, Caroline, that we spoke to the company? Okay. Well, anyway, our information is that the bank says it's different rules for different companies. And in terms of pre-authorization, some drop it right away. Some takes a few working days. So as I say, it's just to be careful if you are operating and there's no money taken from you that shouldn't be as such. It's a pre-authorization. But for some people in some cards in a particular couple of stations, you can find yourself down that 125 per transaction. Now, for many people, you might put €100 of diesel in, I don't know, but you could find yourself without access to that money for a day or two till it's refunded to you. Okay, just worth keeping an eye on there. Just as it relates to the banning of smartphones, a caller says it's too late as virtual reality and screen time is now replacing natural human interaction. Communication can go into any home, TV, phone, video games are the way of life now. Go to a pub, younger generation, texting and on social media in groups together but apart. Intervention is needed. And yes, let's start in schools, plus educating parents of dangers of too much screen time and the benefits of real play and engagement. It's hard to know where we are going because we have billionaires, you know, who are... see a different world for us. You know, be it Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk, they are the main players, particularly Zuckerberg. He is incredibly influential. They see metaverses, you know, blended reality as the future, and they've got billions upon billions upon billions of euro to make us believe that way. Elon Musk, he's got his own ethos. He can throw €44 billion at Twitter and no great shakes. He can afford to take that risk, but he also has a plan, and both of them are seen as heroes by those that support them, but really they're doing their own thing to their own ends. You know, is it really about the user? Quite interesting, that new, if you're interested in your social media, Threads, the new app from Meta, it's connected to Instagram. It's not available in the EU at the moment. You can easily download it if you want to. It's not hard to do with a VPN, which a lot of people use a VPN anyway. You just say you're in London, download it, and that's it. And it's quite interesting. It's not a toxic place. It's much more, and people might not like it. There's obviously more censorship, but there's not as much sort of toxicity or kind of the stuff you see on Twitter anymore. And I think that's going to work very much in its favor. They've already had 100, yeah, well, oh, brilliant. Caroline's saying we're discussing it tomorrow. They've already had in excess of 100 million downloads of the app, which is remarkable in 4 days. But as I say, it is, if you want social media where it is just sort of cats and people saying nice things and a bit of commentary on sport and stuff, it's nice for that. You open Twitter and everyone's saying names of who's the BBC personality and this person over here, I don't agree with them and I hate you. And, you know, just everything it's kind of negative is all there on the Twitter timeline. And they've got this other thread space where it's kind of back to the way Twitter used to be, where it's all rosy in the garden. That's not for everyone, but I think it's going to do really well. It already has. It is a proper rival to Twitter. Now, others have tried Blue Sky and Mastodon and others, but they never had the critical mass access that Meta have. And they have created something that is genuinely going to be a rival to Twitter. So it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out. If you're in any way interested in social media, if you're not, well, then I've just been talking extra nonsense for the last 2 or 3 minutes. A caller says, imagine the party when you turn 18 and have €2,000 to spend. It's very difficult for parents teaching them to drink. Has to be a big no-no. Thank God to be old and have 40-something children. Okay, you don't have to worry about it. Okay. I totally agree with Mary. I never agreed with this policy of introducing drink to under 18s. And I know many parents do this, not judging, but it never felt right to me. I gave my daughter an incentive to stay off alcohol until she was 18, and thankfully it worked. I highly recommend all sports to make them more aware of their health and fitness. So it's not like someone from the suburbs or something with this notion that no one else has ever done. We have a listener here who incentivized her child, her daughter, or his daughter, not to drink till they're 18, and it worked for them as well. Is it something you might try? Greg, I was in a pub recently and I noticed a lot of people, including some young, drinking Guinness Zero and other beers. This was good to see because some young people may never want to drink, but it's not cool to ask for a Coke or 7-Up if your friends are on pints, so your pint of Guinness Zero looks and almost tastes as good. Indeed, I don't think alcohol is particularly nice, tastes particularly nice, really. I don't know. Like, it's good to see. And I think the sales of zero zeros have quadrupled. So it is something that people are adapting to. But I would prefer, if I wasn't drinking, a bottle of Coke full of ice and a slice of lemon or something. But each to their own. Ryan Tuberty paid his agent Noel Kelly to do a job to get the best deal for Ryan. What RTE did then to make up the paycheck is up to RTE. Now Ryan and Noel are the baddies in all of this. For Noel doing his job, RTE have answers why they went around the bush in making up the payments to Ryan. Indeed, that is a point of view. Greg, I was in Go Fuels on Saturday, got €40 of diesel. It was the same thing, €125 payment taken. It was returned this morning, though, but for some, the direct debit could come out overnight and it could be a problem. So hopefully it's something the company has a look at, because those are great services, but if people, and it's handy for people and you can get your diesel or petrol whenever you like, but especially at the moment, that €125 could really genuinely be the difference between a payment going through or not.